हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे.
Okay, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Chapter 19, Devotional Service and Pure Love of God, page 40. Verse 1410. In the 11th canto, prema arising from the Lord's mercy, in this case, association, is illustrated as follows. The persons I have mentioned did not undergo serious studies of the Vedic literature, nor did they worship great saintly persons, nor did they execute severe vows or austerities. Simply by association with my devotees and me, they achieved me. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.12.7. Srila Prabhupada. The Lord's extraordinary mercy. When a devotee is found to be always associated with the Lord in ecstatic love, it is to be understood that such a person has been awarded by the Lord himself out of his causeless extraordinary mercy. An example of such extraordinary mercy is given in the 11th canto, 12th chapter, verse 7 of Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein Lord Krishna tells Uddhava, quote, "The gopis in Vrindavan did not study the Vedas to achieve me, nor had they ever been in holy places of pilgrimage, nor did they devoutly execute any regulative principle, nor did they undergo any kind of austerity. It is simply by my association that they have attained the highest perfection of devotional service." End quote. From the example of Chandrakanti, as found in the Padma Purana, and from the example of the gopis as found in Srimad Bhagavatam, it appears that a devotee who always thinks of Krishna and who always chants his glories in ecstatic love, regardless of his condition, will attain the highest perfection of unalloyed devotional service, devotional love due to Lord Krishna's extraordinary mercy. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Quote, "The person worships, adores, and loves Hari, the Supreme Lord. He should be understood to have finished all kinds of austerities, penances, and similar processes for self-realization. On the other hand, if after undergoing all types of austerities, penances, and mystic yoga practices, one does not develop such love hari, then all his performances are to be considered a useless waste of time. If someone always sees Krishna inside and out, then it is to be understood that he has surpassed all austerities and penances for self-realization. And if after executing all kinds of penances and austerities, one cannot always see Krishna inside and out, then he has executed his performances uselessly."
Right.
Yes.
You see, sometimes devotees have the same doubt, sort of a yoga penances, but it's more like, it is said that if we follow the process, we will develop.
Yes.
It's a question of time.
Yes.
But sometimes it seems like a useless endeavor, useless in the sense that we didn't develop anything, so it's a bit frustrating.
But what are we looking to develop?
Love of God.
But the point is you have to get to prema to develop love of God. I mean, you have to get to bhava to develop love of God. And so, before that, you have to develop taste and attachment. Before that, you have to be stable. Before that, we have to give up the idea that anything other than bhakti is important. Right? So, start there. You know, and then take it up, because the aspect is here is that what's being pointed out here is that bhakti is independent. So if you're absorbed in Krishna, you've already attained what all the austerities are for, right? Sadhana is to bring you to bhava, bhava to prema. So if by being absorbed in Krishna, you come to bhava without all the details and the rules and all that, you've already attained the purpose of it. Right? Does that make sense? So, so that faith has to be there, that anything that you're doing, its value is its relation to Krishna. Right? So now, if in here is one of the ways to look at it, is I've done all this, why haven't I got, so therefore it's a waste of time. But we could also look at it, are we absorbed in Krishna? Because that may be why it's a waste of time. You know, I mean, we're identifying it that way. You know, we're doing something in connection to Krishna, it'll never be a waste of time. But the aspect of, it could be the waste of time is not caused by the devotional practice, it's by the lack of thinking of Krishna. Or, you know, understanding it's for Krishna, or seeing it in the long term it's for Krishna. We may just be doing it mechanically. That, because it's in connection with and all that, we're of course going to advance, but then why would we be seeing it's a waste of time? Unless that itself is from advancement. Do the materialists see that their material endeavor is a waste of time? No. So if we're seeing something, oh, this is a waste of time, that means it has to be coming from some devotional development. But then we have to apply it, so that means the devotional development is the most important thing. Right? So if we're seeing it's a waste of time, that means the negative aspect is being adjusted. But the positive is not, right? Does that make sense? It means if I do something with detachment, that will bring me to liberation. But if I do something to please Krishna, that will bring me towards prema. Right? So we're trying means to do something for Krishna naturally means we're not attached. But we may just be acting on the platform of non-attachment. So therefore we're getting this realization that it's a waste of time. But we're not seeing how it's connected to Krishna, so therefore we're not developing those positive attributes. Does that make sense? So it is advancement, it is working, but the point is ultimately it needs to develop love for Krishna, so we have to add in more remembering Krishna. Does that make sense? Yes. You have to speak more loudly.
Yeah, somebody can say that I abhor sadhana.
He is above sadhana.
Yeah,
so like he's standing on like a chair or something? Or how does he define that he's above sadhana?
I don't need to like do these things. It's enough that I remember and I believe. So it's enough for...
Yeah, great. So you just... And where are they standing when they tell you that?
On the ground.
On the ground. Okay. But in which room?
Outside.
So great. So they can stand outside when it's time for prasad, because all they have to do is remember Krishna and be absorbed in Krishna, and they're above sadhana, because taking prasad is one of the regulative principles. In the deity worship, then in the process of swadhyaya, means that you have the panchanga bhakti, so it has five aspects. So in the fifth aspect, one of the aspects within the fifth aspect, it means it's the detail of a detail, right? And this person is into all these details, right? That's all just karma, right? So it's a detail of a detail that you take prasad. So they wouldn't want to do that, so they should just stand there and absorb themselves in Krishna. They don't need to take a bath, they don't need to brush their teeth, they don't need to go to work, they don't need to have a place, and that they just stand there like the python sadhu. He was just there. Right? I mean, you can do, so that's great news that they're above sadhana and all that. But the point is above sadhana means they're on bhava, or what? Because if you're above something, how do you stay above unless you're situated somewhere? Like, you have the first step. You're above the first step, but unless you're on the second step, how will you stay above the first step? You can stay on the first step and jump, and you can say, I'm above the first step. But you'll come back to the first step. But unless you go to the second step, then you're not above the first step. So, okay, they're above the first step, so they're above these bhajana kriya, so where are they? You know? So it means it's like that. Otherwise, things like this, you go, oh, wow, that's great, fabulous. And then you go in the temple and take prasad. Right? And they can stand outside or do whatever they like. Yes.
One of the characteristics of Bhava Bhakti is mentioned is a devotee is always reserved and perseverant. So he doesn't kind of have the doubt that whether I should put endeavor or not, because he has faith in Krishna and he knows what he's supposed to do. Yeah. So he's always doing that. So that is the characteristics by which one can see
that he's
advanced.
That he's above. Yeah. Yeah. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? What he just said? Means he's showing that from nectar devotion, and when Rupa Goswami is defining Bhava Bhakti, one of the qualities of Bhava Bhakti is he has that faith in the service, and he's always trying to do service. And so therefore he's so busy engaged in the service, he doesn't have time to sit around and say, I don't need to do service. And not only that, he's also, the last one is he's not proud. So he's not proud that, you know, I don't need to do service. I'm above and all this. So in other words, three parts of Bhava Bhakti are not being followed here, so then one might have a doubt whether the person's actually on that platform, because it says all of those manifest. It's not like the nine angas of bhakti, that in any one of them you can become perfect. It means that Bhava means you have all nine. When you're in sadhana, you may have a few here and there to some degree, or like this and that. You see something is there. Faith is there, or not wanting to waste time. And I've come across a few devotees, they just don't want to waste time. Like that. Other aspects might be weak, but that one's strong. You know, and someone else, the faith is strong, someone else, you know, like this. They have all these different aspects. So, but Bhava means it's all there. But here it's like three of them are lacking. Because it's like, I don't need to endeavor, I just have to remember the Lord. You know, like that. And so then someone who is on that platform would remember the Lord. Okay? Would do something. And if he's not, if he's a Shanta Rasa Bhakta, fine, but then he's liberated. Then he's not worried about the material condition or anything. So then he would be like the Python Sadhu. Does that make sense? Yeah. Srila Jiva Goswami. The persons who achieve the Lord and who are mentioned here are Bali and others mentioned in the previous verse of the Bhagavatam. They did not study the Vedas, na adhita shruti gana, in order to attain me. They did not worship the great masters, Mahatmaha, Mahatamaha, in order to learn the Vedas, Matsangat, which means from association with my devotees or association with me. In this case means attaining prema from association with me principally, among all the types of association that one may attain. End quote. They then attain me. Though the Lord is in an independent position, out of humility, he counts himself among the devotees. That is why he's expressed in this way. Thus, the verse may be quoted to show that one can achieve prema from the mercy of the Lord. Right? So even here when Krishna says, amongst the devotees, and you know by the definition it's him, that's because he counts himself amongst the devotees. Right? Because he identifies with the devotees, so therefore he'll count himself there. So it's not he sat down and did that. It didn't mean that he didn't hear something or this and that. But it's not that it's a great scholarly attempt. 1.4.11. So when the Lord came, and by that association, he surrendered. Right? Because the Lord came, so many demons, they didn't surrender. Right? Bali Maharaj is the only one who surrendered. Right? Prema arising from the Lord's mercy has two types. That endowed with knowledge of the Lord's powers, and that endowed with only knowledge of the Lord's sweetness. Srila Jiva Goswami. Here it is explained that this prema has two types, just as prema arising from bhava had two types. Kevala only indicates knowledge only of the sweetness of the Lord, with no mixture at all. Footnote 18. Realizing only sweetness takes place exclusively in the form of Braja Krishna. not even in Mathura or Dwarka, Krishna, where sweetness is mixed with awareness of Krishna as God. Realization of Vaikuntha Vishnu produces a predominance of Mahatmya Jnana Yukta Prema. Right. So it's about his greatness there. So again, you have what is just sweetness or braja, and what has the Aishwarya. And that means it starts from Mathura and then gets more in Dwarka and then most in Vaikuntha, right? So just say, most perfect goes towards Vrindavan. When you're talking about Aishwarya, there's some Aishwarya, more Aishwarya, and most Aishwarya. Yeah. 1.4.12. Prema endowed with knowledge of the power of the Lord arising from the Lord's mercy is described in the Pancharatra. Affection for the Lord more than anyone else, which is very firm and includes knowledge of the Lord's powers, is called bhakti. By that bhakti, a person attains powers in the spiritual world as well as other rewards. There's no other way of attaining such things. Srila Prabhupada. Spontaneous attraction to Krishna, right? So their position in Vaikuntha, that's only going to come by the Lord's mercy. Spontaneous attraction to Krishna, which is said to be due to the extraordinary mercy of the Lord, can be placed under two headings. One is profound veneration of the greatness of the Lord, and the other one is being automatically attracted to Krishna without any extraneous consideration. In the Narada Pancharatra, it is said that if on account of profound veneration for the greatness of the Supreme Lord, one attains a great affection and steady love for him, one is certainly assured of attaining the four kinds of Vaishnava liberation, namely achieving the same bodily features of the Lord, achieving the same opulence as the Lord, dwelling on the planet where the Lord is residing, and attaining eternal association with the Lord. The Vaishnava liberation is completely different from the Mayavad liberation, which is simply a matter of being merged into the effulgence of the Lord. Right? So, interesting point here is Prabhupada's opening. Spontaneous attraction can be divided into two. So it's not that they don't have this aspect of rag, but it's rag based on Aishwarya. They're spontaneous attraction. They like functioning in that way. They like doing that. But it's still with knowledge of Krishna and Aishwarya. While then there's knowledge of Krishna without it, just in sweetness. Right? Prema arising from the Lord's mercy has two types, that endowed with knowledge of the Lord's powers, and that endowed with only knowledge of the Lord's sweetness. Right? So those with the powers, then it's not that they don't appreciate the sweetness in the Lord, but it's because he's so great, that's why his sweetness is there also. Right? And for those who it's just about the sweetness, they just know the sweetness, they'll only see the greatness in the context of his sweetness. Does that make sense? Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Two verses, this and the next one, from Pancharatra. Why is it one's one way and one's the other?
But which is in Calibri fund, when we change back to Balaram fund, and that end with the capital that becomes Sha.
But you can't change that? You have to.
Endeavor.
We just type in this word Okay. Yes, an extra endeavor.
Because it's very
so in other words, we're not on the level of Bhava yet.
Time also matters.
Okay,
he sends
time.
The book and within a week you have to do
it. Okay, yeah, yeah.
Two
okay.
Hours I get to do
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Don't worry. So possibly still maybe on Bhava. Not wasting it. So he brought it, says, oh, so not putting in the endeavor. Then he brought up not wasting time. Okay. Two verses, this and the next one, from Pancharatra, show how prema, with knowledge of the Lord's powers and without knowledge of the Lord's powers. Mahatma Jnanam, knowledge of the Lord's powers, means awareness that he is God. That's the meaning of it. The other one, it's not awareness that he is God. This awareness with particular respect to the Lord restricts feelings of Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. Though there is also awareness of the Lord's powers and persons practicing Raghunukha Bhakti, that awareness does not restrict their feelings of Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya Bhakti. Footnote 19. For both Vaidhi Bhaktas and Raghunukha Bhaktas, Sambandha Gyan, which includes knowledge of the difference between God and Jiva, and their respective qualities, is a prerequisite for proper sadhana. In Raghunukha Bhakti, however, this knowledge does not restrict their feelings of intimacy with the Lord, and awareness of Krishna as God is not part of his emotional cultivation. So it's not that you don't have that knowledge, it's just not what it's not the drive, it's not what's the important element. You understand it, so therefore you can place yourself properly in others. Does that make sense? So, in this way, is that this aspect of the spontaneity, it has these both, but then in here, as he's described, the Raghunukha, the Bhakti, means it's following after the aspect of the Rag, that attachment, which is the predominant element. Not that in Vaikuntha there isn't any spontaneous attraction. It's just that that's still, the basis of that is still on Aishwarya, that he is God. Does that make sense? So just even the thing that you're spontaneously attracted, like that. So we're spontaneously attracted in following the footsteps of the Acharyas. Right? So therefore, then it moves in that direction. Well, if not, then that spontaneous direction moves in the other, if it's in the Vaikuntha. That's why we're careful to always see things from the context of the Acharyas. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Oh no, we just read that one. Oh no, we have to hear. This knowledge of the Lord's greatness and, two, complete affection for the Lord is called bhakti. By that type of bhakti, taya, the person attains sharshti and other blessings. Right? So he has knowledge of the Lord's greatness and complete affection. Right? And it's called bhakti. So then they're going to attain all the four kinds of liberation. So in Vaikuntha, everybody is situated in these four kinds of liberation. Right? While in Braj, even though technically they have them, it's not part of their emotional context of why they do anything. Therefore, it's not of importance for them. Okay? So there's no taste in the liberation. While in Vaikuntha, there's a taste in the liberation and its connection with Krishna. 1.4.13. Prema with knowledge of the Lord's sweetness arising from the Lord's mercy is described as follows in the Pancharatra. That bhakti, inundated with prema, with continuous spontaneous desires to please the Lord, free of desires for other results, even the desire to see his powers, brings even Vishnu under control. It's footnote 20. Perhaps this is equivalent of parama Vishtata, completely absorbed in the object of love, which was the definition of raga. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.272, and then footnote 21. Actually, Kevala Prema is Prema for Braja Krishna. Though the text says Vishnu Vasan Kari, which means literally bringing Vishnu under control. In this context, it must mean that bhakti for Braja Krishna is so attractive that even Vishnu becomes attractive. An example is Mahavishnu calling Krishna and Arjuna to his abode to see them. In Arjuna's bhakti, however, there is a mixture of awareness of Krishna as God along with sweetness. Vishnu's attraction to Kevala Prema would be the Vishnu expansions as cowherd boys and calves, serving Braja Krishna for 1 year. Right, so in other words, Braja Krishna is there, and then Krishna's expansions as Vishnu Murtis, as the cowherd boys and calves, then their service to Krishna to perform these pastimes. Right. In this verse, the distinguishing factor in Kevala Prema is Mano Gatir Avichinna, spontaneous service without the impediment of conceiving of the Lord as God. Right? So the spontaneity can be there, but it's spontaneity without the impediment of conceiving him as God, without the Aishwarya. Does that make sense? So, it's not that they don't talk about these things of surrender and all these things like that. They keep it really, really a secret, these kind of things. like that. But they talk about it, but generally they only bring it up at the generally only the point of vanaprastha and things like that. They don't even discuss it really before that.
Who are they?
Who are they? The Vaikuntha Walas. Does that make sense? Like if we're giving a lecture and we say Sarva Dharma Paricchaya, because that's that surrender, that mood, that having that you just want to serve the Lord. So it's considered a more secret thing. For us, it's not a secret, but the point is you can't do it unless you're on that platform. So therefore, you can know about it, but you're not going to do it unless you're on that platform.
Yes. Krishna
and Arjuna came to Krishna. Krishna was Vraja Krishna, not Vraja Krishna. See, is he in here that if Rupa Goswami is talking about Vraja Krishna and he says Vishnu, he even brings Vishnu under control, right? Because this is one that's described in the Pancharatra. So why would Rupa Goswami be bringing this one in? So, it's that they don't see the difference. They only see that it's Braja Krishna who's doing all these things. Does that make sense? So they only see like that. And at the other aspect that they brought out is all these expansions of Krishna, they have that affection for Braja Krishna. Does that make sense? It's just like Nityananda has that affection for Lord Chaitanya, and Advaitacharya has that affection for Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya, not just Lord Chaitanya and couldn't care less about Nityananda. Does that make sense? So it's always going to go back to there. So whenever you see the Acharyas using a general statement, they say Vishnu, then, as pointed out here, depending on the context, they're talking about Braja Krishna. So that's how the Brajavasis see, because even if he's in the heart, it's Krishna's in the heart. Right? It means that one song of the Acharya, then Govinda Bishram. One, know that one? Whose song? Narottam Das. Yeah, so because we know it's Paramatma sitting there, but because they see as Krishna, so therefore then Krishna's sitting there. So that's because they see Krishna. Yeah, we don't see anything, so. We see it's half hour till breakfast. Yeah. So we do see, but whether we're seeing as the seer or we're seeing in the.
It's actually only a question of perspective, vision.
The whole thing is perspective. That's the whole thing. Nothing changes. We're so used to that it's the external. That's why the external processes are there. But at the same time, it's not that the spiritual platform doesn't use the external. That's how you express everything. That's where the pastimes are going on. But it's the perspective that makes it that particular realm, that particular love, that particular exchange. So, since on the platform of prema they use the external, and so for them it's about the prema, they're using the external, they're following the path of prema, and whatever secondary aspects then naturally support that particular prema, they're applying that. For us, we don't have the prema aspect, we only have that external, so all we can do is perform the activities that are external to prema bhakti. So that's what sadhana bhakti is. Sadhana bhakti is performing the activities that someone on the platform of prema would do naturally. Right? But they would do it according to which one is appropriate at the particular time. We do it because this is the time to do this activity. Because otherwise we wouldn't do anything. Right? It means the gopis are going to get up and before Radha and Krishna's time to get up and go make arrangements and then wake them up and then have the Mangal Arti and then send them off to their houses. They are going to do that. But for us, unless it's a rule that you're up at that time in the morning, we won't be up. Does that make sense? Who here was always up at, 3:34 in the morning? Before they joined Krishna consciousness, before they had any connection with Krishna consciousness. Okay, one?
Sometimes.
Sometimes, but not as a regular thing.
Yeah, you just didn't go to sleep.
Okay. Yeah, we're not talking that you were up all night. We're not. This is not the. We're not talking that right now. Yeah, like at Soho, we go to the temple from the ashram down to the temple, and it would be light then because it's summer in the northern Europe. It has to be light at 3 a.m. You know, it's just a rule, right? You know, and so then as we're going to the temple, all the people are coming out of the pubs and going home. Like that, yeah. So we're not talking that one. Okay, so that means, okay, that's one person. And so then the whole thing is we wouldn't be doing that otherwise, but now we're doing it because it's the rule. Right? Now if you check the one person who is doing it, why were they doing it? You'll check because it was the rule. Not because of bhakti, but because that's just the proper thing to do. It's just the Vedic thing to do, the Hindu thing to do, your particular community, your particular family, like this. That's why you do it. So it's still based on that external thing. It's not about that it pleases Krishna. Does that make sense? So the point is we follow it because you're supposed to. Then you come to the point where you do it because you want to, because you want to please Krishna. So, but if you're doing it to please Krishna, you're still, the external is still happening. Does that make sense? So therefore sadhana bhakti is the activities of the prema bhaktas, but we have to regulate it in that, because otherwise we wouldn't do it at all. They're doing it because of spontaneous love. So it's not a matter of rules. That's what it says. They're not following rules. They're doing it because that's what's favorable at this time to do that service for Krishna. Does that make sense? Yeah. So the form of sadhana bhakti is the same. Right? Krishna's going out to the cowherd pastures. Do not the Brajbasis go out with him? Right? But they go out according to their position and all that. Right? So, does that make sense? The cowherd boys go with Krishna because that's their service. Mother Yashoda and the gopis, they go out a little bit, not much, just outside the gate. But then stop there because their service is inside. And the cowherd men, they don't go out at all because they're getting ready to do other stuff. You know, for Krishna. So all of them are going to do service for Krishna. So does that make sense? So they're all following. So that's why the rule is when the deity goes by, you follow. Because that's what the Brajbasis do. But according to your position. So if you know you don't have anything, but you go with, you know, there's something else you do, you offer obeisances and so, and then go do. You understand? So, yeah. Where are we? The top of 43. Srila Prabhupada, in the Narada Pancharatra, pure unalloyed devotional service is explained as being without any motive for personal benefit. So that's why it includes the liberation. That it's just being done to please Krishna, then that'll be pure devotion. But if there's still some aspect of the benefit like that, it won't be pure unalloyed devotion. So Rupa Goswami is defining on that level. If a devotee is continuously in love with Krishna and his mind is always fixed upon him, that devotional attitude will prove to be the only means of attracting the attention of the Lord. In other words, a Vaishnava who is incessantly thinking of the form of Lord Krishna is to be known as a pure Vaishnava. So that's how then they come to that platform of prema. They get Krishna's mercy because of that. Right? Because of always thinking of the Lord. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. This is also from Narada Pancharatra, that bhakti which possesses continuous desire for the Lord, devoid of desire for other things, abhi santi vinir mukta, controls the Lord. Footnote 22. Mukunda Goswami says that abhi santi vinir mukta indicates freedom from desire for seeing the Lord's powers. Right? So that will get you this kind of bhakti. Because right? Otherwise, if we want to see the powers, then that's something for us.
Yes.
Right? Like that. But it's a matter of it's just pleasing Krishna, then it's beyond that. But the main point is that remembering Krishna. So even if there's mixed, it's still in connection with Krishna. It's better than not seeing Krishna at all. 1.4.14. Those who have practiced Vaidhi Bhakti and then get the great mercy of the Lord attain prema with knowledge of the Lord's powers. Those who have practiced Raganuga Bhakti and then get the great mercy of the Lord attain a prema with knowledge of the Lord's sweetness. Srila Prabhupada. Generally, a devotee who has achieved the causeless mercy of the Lord on account of following the strict rules and regulations of devotional service becomes attracted by the supreme greatness of the Lord, by the transcendental beauty of the Lord, and by the spontaneous execution of devotional service. To be more clear, by executing the regulative principles of devotional service, one can fully appreciate the transcendental beauty of the Lord. In any case, such exalted positions are possible only by the extraordinary mercy of the Lord upon the devotee. Right? So we don't need to get too worried about, you know, well, if I'm in rag or if I'm this and that. It's by the Lord's mercy. So following the acharya, we try to do our best here to serve with that attitude. Then it moves forward properly. Srila Jiva Goswami. Generally, prayasha, from Raganuga sadhana, one will attain kevala prema. However, the practitioner of Raganuga, who also practices some portion of Vaidhi sadhana, does not receive kevala prema. This is the meaning of the word generally. Because then it has that mix. So if it's mixed, then that's the dorka aspect. Because that's the purpose, what your purpose is. But if your purpose is you want to please Braja Krishna, then it goes that direction. But if you're not really worried about that, then it can be mixed. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. If a person practicing Raganuga sadhana performs some archana, which includes meditation on Rukmini and others in Dwarka, which are part of Vaidhi Bhakti, then the Lord will not bestow kevala prema. It's interesting here, just if we take this a bit apart here. The person practicing Raganuga sadhana performs archan, which includes meditation on Rukmini and others in Dwarka. Okay, so the problem is the meditation on Rukmini and others in Dwarka. Right? So it's not that the Raganuga sadhaka doesn't perform archan. And so in the archan is where all so many, most of the rules are. So that doesn't make it Vaidhi sadhana. Right? You're following the rules of Vaidhi, but that doesn't mean that it's Vaidhi sadhana. Right? If the purpose is to please Krishna, then that's where it is. At our particular point in realization, we may be still worshipping Radha Krishna as Lakshmi Narayan, because we're still, it's about the rules, that's why we're doing it. Does that make sense? You know? And then if we think, oh, but if we want to act not according to the rules, those whimsical, that's not going to work either. Point is that at least minimum you should be worshiping the Lord 6 times a day. Like that. But in Braj, they worship all day. You know, it's just like you should be chanting 24 hours a day, so minimum you're chanting 16 rounds. So it's that way. So Archan, that's the regular thing. They all worship Krishna. Yes.
Usually we would differentiate between rag and vaidhi, as one is according to rules and one is spontaneous.
Yes.
Now we see that archana is same, is similar to both.
All the practices of vaidhi are similar to both. As we said, where does vaidhi come from? It comes from the activities of one situated on the platform of prema.
So the motives, that's what
differentiates. It's the motive that differentiates. That's the thing, is that's what we've been discussing basically for the last some days, is that we take it that Raganuga sadhana is a different practice because we take everything secondarily. So what's the secondary features of Rag Bhakti? But it's not. It's the same thing, different attitude.
Because the example is Chandrakanti. It's different from what usually sadhakas do.
No, because sadhakas dance for Krishna. It's just she likes to dance for Krishna, therefore she dances all night for Krishna. But it comes up because she's absorbed in Krishna. That's why it's easy. If it's just us, the rule, I got to do this, then it won't be so easy. She's just absorbed in Krishna, therefore she's dancing. And that's why it says, that's why she became perfect, because of that. It's the remembrance of Krishna that makes it work. That's why you get Krishna's mercy. It's not because you're so expert at the rules and just Krishna's so impressed he has to come and see this. You know? Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the subtle point. It's the attitude. Just like you see the residents of Dwarka and the residents of Vrindavan, they're friends. But what's the difference? It's in the attitude. How they see Krishna. It's the same Krishna. One sees him as a king, one sees him as a cowherd boy.
The days ago you told that our indifference is not a single day that we want to satisfy Krishna by being Dasa, Dasa and Dasa. But in not a single day they also explain the importance to be servant of spiritual master.
Yes, yes. Yes, of course, that's there. Means you always have to be the servant of the spiritual master. That's the opening part of anything. But they don't put as much emphasis on servant of the servant of the servant of the servant like that. It's just you serve the spiritual master, and they have that attitude, and therefore they have the attitude of service towards anybody. Serve the spiritual master, serve the Vaishnavas, so they have a good mood of service. So that's very strong. Right? Because Padasevana, that's one of the things. It's service to the Vaishnavas. Right? So they don't have a problem there. You know, in fact, they have some nice stories about it. Means your main difference, according to what we're discussing now, is whether you've seen the Lord in greatness or not. That's going to be the main aspect. Because if you're not seeing in greatness, proximity is not so important. It'll be there for them also. So this greatness is prominent in how they look at things. Yes, that'll be the main thing. Is that okay? Good? That's something or no? Sounds good. Sorry?
Next
group. Oh, okay. Sticky. 1:4:15:16. Adau Shraddha Tata Sarusangota Vajana Kriya Tato Narta Nivriti Syat Tato Nishta Ruchis Tata Tata Shaktis Tato Bhavas Tata Prema Pudhanchati Sadakanam Ayam premna pra dur bhava bhavet kramaha. Now you see why these ones are here. First, there is association with devotees, by which one gains faith. Then one associates with the devotees to learn the scriptures. Then practices bhakti. Right? So you. Association with devotees, you gain faith. Then one associates to learn the scriptures. And then practices. From learning that, you practice bhakti. The anarthas are then destroyed. Steady bhakti without confusion follows. Desire for the Lord, ruchi, appears. This is followed by spontaneous desire for the Lord, asakti. This becomes bhava and then prema. This is the progression for manifesting prema for those performing sadhana bhakti. Right, so interesting here is that he's putting spontaneous up here with the sakti. Because you already have that ruchi, that taste. You already have that desire. So naturally then it can become spontaneous. So it means there may be some inkling before that, but that's where it becomes strong, yes.
Yoga Swami mentions that at the beginning stages of a sakti, still it's an intellectual effort that I have to serve Krishna. And then it develops into raga.
And that makes the difference between that and bhava.
Yeah.
Srila Jiva Goswami. Yeah, because we're thinking that, the intellectual aspect, and then there that's the lower part. Right? As we're lower, that's a little higher. That's the lower part, right? Srila Jiva Goswami. Though there are many steps in the progression of bhakti, the most common sequence is stated in two verses. In the beginning, a Tao, by hearing the scriptures and associating with the devotee, one attains faith, Shraddha. Shraddha means trust or confidence. Then, after faith appears, again, association with devotees takes place, sadhu sangha, for learning how to practice bhakti. Nishtha means continuous bhakti without confusion. Ruchi means desire for the Lord, but with direction by the intellect. Asakti means desire which is natural or spontaneous without intellectual direction. But it doesn't have to be directed, but you, like Prabhu was saying, you have to start there. You have to start that I should be involved, but like that. So, right? So Ruchi, you have the taste and you understand intellectually that this is the taste, this is not the taste. But at that point, it's just, no, you don't have that intellectual aspect, it's just that's what you do. But it's not fully as spontaneous as Rati. Right? 1.4.17. This ever-fresh prema arises in the heart of a person who is very fortunate. That person's behavior is very difficult to comprehend, even for those knowledgeable of scriptures. Srila Prabhupada, association with pure devotees. Although many different processes for developing love of Godhead have been explained so far, Srila Rupa Goswami now gives us general description of how one can best achieve such a high position. So all those others you'll see will fit into this. You know, in their positions, and it depends upon how you're seeing and this and that, where how they're featuring. But by this you get a general way how it moves forward. Right? The beginning of a static love of Krishna is basically faith. There are many societies and associations of pure devotees. And if someone with just a little faith begins to associate with such societies, his advancement to pure devotion is rapid. The influence of a pure devotee is such that if someone comes to associate with him with a little faith, one gets the chance of hearing about the Lord from authoritative scriptures, like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Thus, by the mercy of the Lord, who is situated in everyone's heart, one gradually develops his faith in the descriptions of such authoritative scriptures. This is the first stage of association with pure devotees. In the second stage, after one becomes a little advanced and mature, he automatically offers to follow the principles of devotional service under the guidance of the pure devotee and accepts him as the spiritual master. In the next stage, under the guidance of the spiritual master, the devotee executes regular devotional service, and as a result of such activities, he becomes freed from all unwanted occupations. When he is freed from unwanted occupations, his faith becomes steadily fixed, and he develops a transcendental taste for devotional service. Then attachment, then ecstasies, and in the last stage, there's pure love of Godhead. These are the different stages of the development of pure love. So we see that Prabhupada is headed here, the association of devotees. Association of pure devotees, then, from that you develop faith, so you're hearing from them. In that process you develop faith. You'll continue that same process now with faith. That will then make you interested in following the practices oneself. So, yes.
Shall Prabhupada here emphasize pure devotees all the time?
Yes.
You mentioned it quite a few times.
Yes.
But is this in a general sense or specific? Because usually when new people come to the temple, they don't associate with whatever we usually consider pure devotees.
But what's the purpose of those devotees that they're associating with? What's their goal? What are they trying to attain?
That's what my question.
Yeah, but so that would mean it's in pursuance of.
Okay.
There's one, I don't know where it is, but I think Baladeva Dibhushan then defines that that one of the meanings of that is meaning that you may not be on that platform, but you are in pursuance of that platform. And so then you account them there. But it means they're pure devotees, but they may not have the realization of, so they may be third class pure devotees, and then more advanced they're second class pure devotees, and then more advanced first class pure devotees, then they're prema bhakti. So pure devotion can be there, it's just how much realization and how deep it is. So that's what it says. Because the motive, it's about the motive. Okay. 1.4.18. Therefore, in Narada Pancharatra, it is said, O Goddess Parvati, The person who is mad with love of the Lord, being absorbed in the highest bliss, does not know at all his own happiness or distress. Srila Prabhupada. Only the most fortunate persons can achieve such success in life. Those who are simply academic students of the Vedic scriptures cannot appreciate how such a development takes place. In the Narada Pancharatra, Lord Shiva therefore tells Parvati, "My dear Supreme Goddess, you may know from me that any person who has developed the ecstasy of love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and who is always merged in transcendental bliss on account of this love, cannot even perceive the material distress or happiness coming from the body or mind." Right? So they don't even see what's there, because what they're experiencing is beyond. So bliss is beyond material happiness. Right? And so, and its position is stuff you don't see, whether it's happiness or distress that's coming to the bodily situation, body or mind. Jiva Goswami, Srila Jiva Goswami. This verse shows the difficulty in understanding a person with prema. Even he cannot understand what is happening. Because, right? We're thinking, how do you understand someone on the platform of prema? The person on the platform of prema can't even understand himself. That's his point here. Here is the meaning. Those learned in scriptures define the goals of life as the destruction of suffering and attainment of happiness. They try to understand if the prema bhaktas have achieved these total goals of life by looking at their external appearance. But these prema bhaktas internally experience happiness and distress only from achieving or not achieving the Lord. That's their happiness and distress. The external things aren't. Thus, others cannot understand the prema bhakta's behavior. Right? Because if you're looking at it that, destruction of suffering, attaining of happiness means I follow scriptures, I'm being pious. Because of that, then the things that are creating problems have gone away. And those things that are bringing about, happiness are there. So you can generally see that. Right? And so, here he's pointing out, using that as the measure, you can't actually see. Thus it is said, persons who are very expert and most intelligent in understanding things as they are, engage in hearing narrations of the auspicious activities and pastimes of the Lord, which are worth chanting and worth hearing. Such persons do not care even for the highest material benediction, namely liberation, to say nothing of other less important benedictions like the material happiness of the heavenly kingdom. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:15-48. O Lord, we pray that you let us be born in any hellish condition of life, just as long as our hearts and minds are always engaged in the service of your lotus feet. Our words are made beautiful by speaking of your activities, just as tulsi leaves are beautified when offered to your lotus feet, and as long as our ears are always filled with the chanting of your transcendental qualities. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:15-49. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura. In 3:15-48, in statements made by Dhruva, sufferings not by attaining the Lord is shown by the Kumaras, expressing disrespect for liberation since there is no bhakti present for attaining the Lord in that state. In the statement of the Kumaras, happiness on attaining the Lord is expressed by accepting birth even in hell, provided it is possible to perform bhakti there. Right? And so, yeah. And we see here is that this is statements by Narad Muni. In statements made to Dhruva. So I'm just wondering, is this the Kumaras then speaking? In any case, the point is that the material happiness is not actually, getting rid of distress is not the standard by which the devotee judges bhakti. It's the absorption in the Lord and that ananda that comes from that. It's something different. Okay. Yes.
Again, that's why it was very difficult for us to understand in the 10th canto the condition of the gopis when Krishna left.
Yes.
We were thinking this must be like super suffering, but for them, it isn't. It doesn't really matter.
No, it's absorption in the Lord. It's just the Vipralamba. In Vipralamba, you're with the Lord, but the perception of it is that you're not. But you're still with the Lord. because Krishna and his name, his form, his qualities, his pastimes, he's non-different. But it gives a different feeling. Therefore, then when they do come together, then it gives even more taste. And then when the Vipralamba, then it gives even stronger. So each time when you're with Krishna, the separation will be then stronger feeling. Whatever you were, was there when you were with Krishna, by the separation, now it becomes even more intense. And then by that being more intense than separation, now when you come together with Krishna, it's more intense than that separation and than the sambhog before that separation. So it just keeps increasing. So it's, yes.
Yes, Madhavendra Puri is telling separation from the Lord in the last day. Ramchandra Puri is telling to remember in person Brahman.
Yes.
Not understanding.
Yes, and so he tells him to go away. Yes. You heard?
No.
The Madhavendra Puri was telling that because in his final pastimes, then Ramachandra Puri was saying that, you know, now you should absorb yourself in the personal Brahman. So he said, go away. Yes. Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandana.